us or this? Okay, the okay, other kids. All right. It seems there's a big difference between when you are presenting something, let's say at work, versus when you are sharing the word of God, right? But Awari, is that true? I think I'm beginning to realize that. There's a difference. You know, when you share at work is you get your fact and you present to people so that you can try and convince them or but the one for the word of God is different. The Lord is using you to speak his word to his people. So one has to be very, very careful. You don't want to bring your own opinion. I'll bring my opinion. So this is what I think. And I think you guys should go along with it, right? But the word of God is different. You have to make sure you understand what the Lord is saying and tell it to the people as is. So that's why at the beginning I prayed that the Lord will grant wisdom. And so during the service, if there's anything I say that you need clarity, please stop me, because I think I have one minor issue. Sometimes I say some things and people interpret it as something different, you know. But by the time I clarify, it makes sense. Okay. So please stop me anytime I say something that you are not clear about, so that you won't get the wrong message. Okay? All right. So as human beings, generally speaking, do we think about all the decisions we make? Do we have a motive or a rationale behind decisions that we make? Do we? Or we just do things by like cruise control, like, you know. Do we have a reason behind everything, all the decisions we make? That's a question for us. Anybody? Okay. Or do we bother to ask ourselves, what's the rationale behind this decision we are making? It could be trivial, it could be consequential, right? Like this morning now, I'm very sure some of us woke up this morning and some decide to do devotion. Some decide to postpone it to maybe tonight and not do devotion, right? Some woke up, went to their closet and said, what am I going to wear this morning? Should I match the blue shoe with the blue bag and look radiant, right? Some got to their kitchen and said, should I eat African bread that is not healthy, or should I eat whole grain, right? We make decisions. Like some of them are kind of, it's not really big, but there's something behind those decisions. The reason why you thought about whether you should eat whole grain and is because of your health concerns, or maybe you don't want to gain some additional layers of, right? There are things that some decide that this morning, should I buy coffee? Or should I stay away from coffee because I already made a vow that I'm going to stop myself from drinking coffee? Right? So there's always some reason behind some of these things we do. So back to the question. The reasons behind what we do, the steps we take, the decisions we make, what are those reasons? And to be honest with ourselves, whether we like it or not, there is a reason behind every decision we make. Some may be something we've kind of used to and we don't even think about it anymore. And some might be because of a particular reason. Let me give an example. Like, Brother usually uses himself as an example, so let me use myself today too. So, personally, growing up, I don't think I treated, for example, bad days as something big. Because growing up, I don't think I ever remembered having a big or a birthday party or something like that. We do happy birthday, you know, right and there. But there's nothing. It's not like it's the next thing after Christmas. You understand? It's nothing spiritual. It's just, I think it's our dad raised up like that. We even the only party that we used to do then was end of year party, 31st of the year or 1st of the year, I can't remember. And the party is just our family and one other cousin of mine. The two families come together and that's it. That's our own definition of party, right? And so growing up, while in college, birthday is not a problem for me. I'm not saying that don't do birthday. I'm just saying that personally, that it's not spiritual. Before I knew the Lord, I wasn't doing birthdays. But along the line, I met another person that happens to appreciate birthdays a lot. So I had to learn how to appreciate birthdays. I had to learn that I have to read the content of a birthday card before giving somebody. you understand what I mean? So that decision of me not doing, even up to now, my last birthday that I did there, thank God for Auntie Folake that brought rice and Auntie Buki that brought fruits and Stashade that. People that came would have just be eating cookies together. Because my wife knew that I'm not, you know, so she knew. But thank God for my sister. Sister Folake, thank you. Auntie Buki. So anyway, the point is that the decision for me not to be a birthday celebrating person is just something I got used to from while I was a young person, right? And the reason behind it, thinking through it right now, is just because that's how I was raised up, right? So the decision behind that was because of what I was used to, not because of any of that, right? So there are some things like that based on what you're used to, you just do them by default. So if you want to do birthdays, please don't. I'm not saying you don't do birthdays. This is just my own. And the Bible already gave us a way to do birthdays. So you can follow that too. And in that light too, some people want to do Thanksgiving, right? Thanksgiving. Do you have a question? How to do parties? Yeah. No, I mean parties generally, right? If you want to prepare a banquet, right? Isn't that in the Bible? Right? That's it, yeah. Also, if you want to do Thanksgiving, some people, right? You want to do Thanksgiving, and your idea of Thanksgiving is, you know, everybody come and let's thank the Lord together. And some people, their own Thanksgiving, the reason behind it is that they really want to thank the Lord, focus on thanking the Lord a lot. And they will not do anything flamboyant, right? They just focus. Do you all remember the time Brother Debo wore a big agbada to this place to give thanks? Do you all remember? And for that, can you remember that day? When he wore his agbada on this pulpit to give thanks. Brother, you remember? Okay, when he came back from California. You guys don't remember? That was the only time I saw Brother Debo in agbada. You will know that day that his Thanksgiving wasn't for men. I don't know whether anybody remember that day. It was an emotional day for all of us, right? So, again, the rationale behind what we do. Even spiritual things like fasting, fellowship, there's a reason behind it, right? So fasting, I hope we're not fasting because the intercessory group sent an email out that 1st to the 7th is prayer and fasting. I hope that the rationale behind our fasting is to seek the face of the Lord, right? There is the right rationale and there is the wrong rationale. Another personal story. So when I was growing up, right, I grew up in a Muslim background. All my father's family members, they are Muslim, right? My mom too, Muslim, but those get converted when we were growing up. But my dad's generation, they were not converted. It was their children that kind of get converted. So anyway, so sometimes I would be in my cousin's place and they'll be doing Ramadan fasting. Okay. I don't know what I was thinking, but I'll also join them, right? So we won't eat in the morning. I will eat from six. We'll eat from six, right? Six to we'll continue eating till around 10, we go to sleep. Then at 5 we eat otamala at 5 a.m. So I didn't have a problem fasting But there was no purpose behind my fasting, even if there was a purpose at that time. Do you understand what I mean? Even though it seems like an act of spiritual, I don't know how to put the exercise, but the rationale behind it, then it was like, let me just enjoy myself and eat as much as I can eat and just follow the cruise. Again, action may seem right, but our motives has to be right too, right? The rationale behind what we do. Can we read, Brother Peter? Please project 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4 to 7. This is Apostle Paul talking about their motive, their rationale behind what they're doing, which is kind of very different from what we see on TV today. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 4 to 9. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well placed to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. This is the heart of somebody that truly, 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 genuinely is concerned about the people he was preaching to. The rationale behind their work is not for gain. Wasn't to advance their status in the society. Neither was it to be popular. They were doing it for a reason. And the reason is clear in that text, right? They had a purpose. The rationale behind it was genuine. It was to bring these people to preach the gospel so that they may come back to the Lord. Also, the reason behind what we do. When James said that we ask and do not receive, because we ask amiss. So there is a rationale behind asking, right? But we won't get it from God because we're asking amiss, to consume upon ourselves. You can preach or you can fast from now till next week and say, Lord, do a miracle in Iceville. Use us to open the eyes of the blind. But if the rationale behind it is not to advance the purpose of God, do you think the Lord will answer your prayer? Could it be that's the problem, why the issue we have right now, where things like this are no more happening, where revival is not happening anymore, where people have to now do acting to simulate the power of God on the pulpit? Because the Lord is not giving his power to people that will use it anyhow. So you may fast and say, Lord, I want the church to be 20,000 capacity, whatever I want to say. I want to build an auditorium that's next to the temple in Jerusalem in terms of size that Solomon built. On paper, it looks great and tremendous. But what is the rationale behind it? Would the Lord answer somebody that has just a room with 10 people that genuinely wants just one more soul, Lord, this month, just one more soul, so that your name will be glorified? Wouldn't God answer that person rather than you that are asking for 10,000 capacity so that you can boast and say, my church has 10,000, and you know? Again, what is the rationale behind what we do? What's our motive? So, as a Christian, what should be our motives in our day-to-day living? So let's think through this. What should be our motive? Prapita, do you have a mic? Since this is interactive session, I will give the mic to whoever I want to. What is the rationale behind everything that we do as a Christian?
To please God.
Sister Tunde said it's to please God. As a Christian, what's your rationale?
I agree with that. I mean, it's it has to be God first. You know, you seek the heart of God, His will, and then align what you do, because like it is in Proverb, we have many things in our heart, in our minds, but it is that of the God that should be predominant, that should take precedence. So I think it should be God first, undivided, 100%, in accordance to His will, unblemished all the time. That's my own opinion, and that's what I really think.
Okay. Good. As a Christian, what should be the rationale behind whatever you do?
What does rationals mean?
The reason behind it. What should be the reason behind everything you do as a Christian?
That you should always please God when you're doing it, because you don't want to do something bad because you're not pleasing God.
That's my niece. Sister Buki, what is the rationale? What should be the rationale behind every decision or step or action that a Christian takes?
The rationale should be to honor God in all that we do and to be in obedience to His will.
So we all agree that the purpose, the rationale behind our decisions should be God first. To obey God. That's why we are created. Thank you, ma'am. That's good. So we are on the same page. Even the Lord Almighty has purpose behind his decisions. So the Lord told Moses, he said, go and tell Pharaoh. Tell him to let my people go. So that what? So the Lord wanted his people to be released from bondage so that they may worship him. Okay. Good. So since we are created in God's likeness, we should also follow that same right. So there's a reason. Let's do it. Okay. The reason. So why didn't the Lord listen to Brother Peter when Brother Peter was trying to tell him not to go to the cross? No, I own Brother Peter, the Apostle Peter. Why did the Lord not listen to Apostle Peter? Do you know the reason?
Because he had to die for our sins.
So if the Lord had listened to Brother Peter, what would have happened? Apostle Peter. What would have happened?
The Lord wouldn't have died for our sins, and we wouldn't have had a chance to go to heaven.
Okay. So our Lord Jesus had a purpose. There was a reason behind him coming to the world. And because of that purpose, he didn't want to be distracted, right? So there was something behind him saying that, get thee behind me, Satan. He was looking forward to accomplishing his mission. All right? Good. Our motive and purpose come to light when we get to crossroads in life, right? you want to make a decision and different things are pushing you left, right, and center. Right? You want to know what to do. And the purpose comes into play, right? But before we go there, let's read 2 Corinthians 5:17. Right, Peter? All right, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'll read again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Going forward now to the end of the service, the message is for people that are born again. Okay? So in case you are not born again now, you can learn from this so that when you are born again, you apply it to. So I don't want you to say, what is wrong in me not doing this? I'm assuming that everybody here is born again, right? So if okay, you change it. Okay. If anyone is in Christ, so this means that when they say old things are passed away, that means things that happen, not things from today onwards, right? Old means previous, right? The back. This passage says, if you are really a Christian, things you were doing before, you will stop doing them now because things have changed. You are no longer the same person that was living like in Babylon. You are now somebody that is living like a child of God. Right? For anyone that's a Christian, there is a day, or there was a day, when things started changing. It was a dramatic experience, a one-day experience, and everything changed. Like Paul. So, it was a gradual process. Like Peter, it was just called, then gradually the Lord began to teach them. Right? But at some point, all things must pass away indeed in your life as a Christian. If you are a Christian and nothing has changed in your life, then that begs the question, are you really a Christian? Right? Something must change, must have changed. If, for example, as a beautiful young lady, you used to dress up to cause traffic jam when you were in the world. Now that you are born again, your purpose will not be causing traffic jam anymore. Right? No more mini skirt anymore, right? If you used to apply 5 different colors to your face to look beautiful then, now you probably reduce from 5 to... I don't want to get myself into trouble in this one. So, right? If before it's difficult for you to walk because of your tight-fitting clothes, but now because things have changed, you are now the son, the daughter of the Most High. Everything is not about you anymore. Now you should be able to walk easily with your clothes without being uncomfortable. If as a man before, your being, who you are, is tied to the kind of watch or the kind of shoe or the kind of car you drive, now that things have changed, that shouldn't matter anymore. Even though if you have your money, well, the Lord's money now, you can still drive a good car. There's nothing wrong with that. But the purpose of your being is not that car anymore. That car will not define who you are anymore. And you won't go to the extreme of these are the areas that I want to be very clear now. Before people say, Brother Akunle said, we shouldn't drive a car. This is where somebody will think about this now and say, okay, I need a car. This one is one I like, very beautiful, and they will know that I've arrived. But if I buy it, many other things will suffer. But this one is the one that, if I buy it, I will still get to work, and every other thing will not suffer. Before, you probably want to endure the suffering and drive the one that, I don't know how people in Nigeria live, because in Nigeria, who you are is, even me when I was in Nigeria for 3 weeks, my name changed from Kunle to Oga, because anybody is just Oga, and me too. So if when we were in the world and who we are is tied to stuff, now that all things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Shouldn't that change too? Right? For someone that before, you can lie with, you know, some people can lie with ease that even they themselves, they will believe that that lie. We have somebody around us now that does that a lot, right? He will lie and you. Anyway, going forward, as all things have gone now, we can't lie anymore, right? Even if we lie and we realize we've lied, you know that audience is, and you start asking. It wouldn't be a norm anymore. If you lie, it's going to be like one off and right there and there you go and ask the Lord, Lord, please help me, you know. It wouldn't be like a normal, regular life anymore, right? If before the affirmation of the world is what gives us, drives us, you know, you go somewhere and when people say, ah, did you see Sister Buki's handbag? Jimmy Chu. Okay. Did you see Sister Buki's handbag? And Sister Buki, no, I want Sister Buki, but that Sister Buki I'm talking about, we just say, oh, thank you. Yeah. If that was then, right now, it shouldn't matter, right? Sister Buki can wear all the ones she had before, she can still wear them, right? Or use them. But our being is not tied to the bag anymore. It's not, or Brother Peter's shoe. Before, he you know, people would say, ah, Brother Peter, that shoe is, he derives enjoyment from that. And because of that, he tries to get collection of shoes, right? So that people will, maybe people are not, may not understand this, but where I came from, all of those things really mattered a lot. How you dress up, people associate you with so many things like that. Anyway, but having been saved, that shouldn't be who you are anymore, right? Okay? So one other thing I want to say, this one is not, like Paul would say, this is not from the Lord, I'm just saying my, you know. So this one too, I'm just asking, please, anybody that is my friend on WhatsApp or BlackBerry, BBM, please don't unfriend me. I just want to ask a question. In Yoruba, they said, if anybody that asks direction will never get lost. So I want to know whether I'm missing something. So I understand that we put pictures there when people are doing bad days and all is good. But the question I have is that, why is it that we like changing our own picture regularly? Just why? What's the reason behind it? Does anybody know?
I think people do that just because, like, they think it's fun.
So I'll just be uploading my own picture on my profile so that what's the reason behind it? I want to know really if I'm missing something now so that I can start doing it too. Ah, the kids, they know the reason. Okay, let me start. What's
the reason? I think the reason why is because people may think it will make them more popular online.
Some people. Okay. So if I change my picture like 3 times a week, 4 times a week, is it that my looks has changed or?
We want to capture that. You were just trying to give the latest version of herself
to
the world, to make people know that, yes, this is my new hairstyle, my new clothes, new golden earrings, you know, just to show off.
Just to show off. Okay. So, sister, success as truthfully, explain the reason. Is that, do you agree that's the reason? Okay, Brother Peter has a different reason. Brother Peter, tell us your own reason why you changed your profile picture. That's your own, not your wife or your children.
Yes. I just love taking pictures and sharing the beauty of pictures and environment with other people.
That's another person, another view. Do you have something?
Yeah. Success, you know, sometimes you change your picture profile because you're probably looking good or something like that, so you want everybody to see how you look. Mm-hmm. Just
trying to be. I like honesty, in fact. Do you have something to say?
Some people want to be internet famous.
Internet famous.
Because they want to keep their friends updated.
They want to keep their friends updated. Sister Biola, do you have something to add? Why would you eat?
I guess why. I put up pictures of my family a lot. So I guess it's how I feel on that day. I put up a picture representing that.
So that I clarify. So this one is not about family. It's just your own. So you do family. That's fine. Sister Buki, anything to add? Please, people don't unfriend me. I'm just asking so that I will know. Mm-hmm. Which is good. So there's this, maybe we'll get to that later on. There's this man called Paul Washer. We listened to his message a while back in our Bible study, remember? Something about the youth. And this man was telling the youth, he was preaching to them, that he's one of the few people that I actually listen to that's an American, that's based here. I think he's mostly in Ecuador, but he's an American. I think he's Southern Baptist, right? I can't remember. But there's a message he preached then, and he gave an analogy. He said, it's like somebody that stands in the middle of a rail line and a freight train hit the person, right? And the person goes home and tells the wife or the family that, guess what? I was hit by a freight train today. Is that, would that person believe him or her, right? You were hit by a trailer and you are the one telling the story, right? And now said, our Lord Jesus is way more bigger, that the impact of Christ in our life should be so evident that we won't be the one saying that, oh, I've met the Lord. That your life should change such that people will know, just like a trailer hitting somebody. That person will be the one telling the story. Somebody will be telling that man has changed. I remember when I was growing up, when somebody becomes born again, you will know. Right? Or am I the only person? Do they need to tell you that they are born again? Even their clothes will change the way they dress. Now, I know that there are some that went to the other extreme. I'm just saying that usually, even if your immediate family members do not know that something has happened to you. But they should know, right? If you look at it, right? There's no how my wife will not know that something has happened to me. If I'm not born again and I just give my life to Christ today, she would, things that I used to do that I will stop doing them, that she will notice, you know. Okay. So, again, what's the rationale behind what we do? As human beings and as Christians, could it be, I think some of us mentioned it, could it be that some of the things behind what we do could be related to those three things that Apostle John talked about in, is it 2 John? The pride of life, lust of the eye, and lust of the flesh, right? Right? Could it be tied to those three things? Some of the things that drive what we do. Right? Is it possible that from Saturday to, from Sunday evening to Saturday night, that the same things we do are the same things unbelievers do? So basically, when I say we, I'm not saying, I'm just mean people that go to church, which includes us too, anyway. Is it true that, could it be that it's because, I'm just trying to think through Let's reason this together. Could it be because the reason why our motive or our rationale behind things is not really different from the world is because Monday to Saturday, the same things that the world does are the same things we also do. So we sow the same seed, the same water, rain fell on them, and the fruit, we expect the fruit to be different? Is that what we're expecting? The Bible says the Lord is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall reap. If you feed yourself and your children with the same useless films on the TV now or in the movie theaters, and you are praying day in, day out that they be born again, the Lord may hear your prayer. True. But why bother sowing worldliness? Things that the people of this, we are trying to preach to these people of this world to get away from. Why are we sowing the same seed in the lives of our children and ourselves and expect a miracle to happen? Or is it that we, again, same question, what is the rationale behind what we do? Is it that we probably did not think through some of these things? We are kind of used to it? Or, I know no Christian will want their children to end up bad, right? But is it that we are not that very careful to look at the rationale behind the things we do? We went for a program, this scrimmage, Stabila, remember, right? The scrimmage thing. Is it scrimmage or screenagers? Sorry, I said scrimmage. Screenagers. Where they talked about how social media impacts the life of our kids, right? You were there too, right? So they said on, is it Snapchat or one of these? They say if you post a picture and you only get one like or two or whatever, the person that posted the picture may not, you know. It's when your friend posts their picture, they have like 500 likes, you know? So the children get kind of depressed in a way, right? So that affects them, right? Now, so they are getting who they are from the likes of people. Isn't that a problem? So our children are growing up in a way where who they are and how they view themselves is tied to the opinion of probably unbelievers. If I post my picture now and nobody likes it, that's your business, not mine. Right? Why do I care? If you like it, that's good. I was smart, thank you. But if you don't like my picture that I post, I'm sure Stashade will like it. And my brother too, but I will like it, Brother Peter. Brother Peter said maybe. But you get the gist, right? Who we are shouldn't be tied to this. As parents, there are some things that we can help our children with that they don't need to bother themselves with. And I give an example of what one thing that I enjoyed, even though it wasn't anything spiritual then, wasn't anything spiritual at all, was the one that I'm not a party person. If I don't throw a party in 40 years, I don't care. It doesn't affect who I am. So even though it wasn't anything spiritual, then, you know, I didn't have to struggle with it when I, you know. So as we raise up our children also, let's remember that there are some things that we have found that not to be vanity upon vanity. We read the Ecclesiastes, we've been reading our prayer group every Saturday for a while now, and I think for 3 Saturdays now. And we're reading Ecclesiastes, and we just reminds us again of that vanity is for real. You know, the Bible was saying that, was saying in, I think the second chapter, is it end of chapter 3, that an animal and man, their end is the same. They both die. But thank God for Jesus for us. For an unbeliever, an animal that dies and a man that dies is the same end goal, the same destination. May the Lord help us. So again, let's evaluate what we do, especially because our children are learning from us. Why would a man, a child of God, tie the identity to stuff? You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Why will your being be tied to stuff? It shouldn't be. These three things will be I'm not trivializing temptation. The Lord Jesus was tempted too, right? But these things shouldn't be what's driving us. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We all want our children to go to the best schools. Good. I think it's a good thing. But what's the reason behind it? Do I want Damilola to go to Brown? He's one of the Ivy League, right? Brown, okay. Because I can say my first son went to Brown. Right? Is that the reason? Is that the rationale behind it? Or I can say, Brother Peter can say, Kiki, I'm actually sending school fees to Kiki at Harvard. And one of the reasons behind it, him pursuing that Harvard thing was so that he will, the pride of life part of this thing. Again, let me clarify before you say, but I can only say our children should not go to Harvard. That's not what I'm saying. Are we able to do anything to get our children to Harvard? Are we willing to do that? Lie on our application or do whatever is needed to get to Harvard? If that's the case, we have a problem. That shouldn't be right. Anything we do when we relate it to the Lord Jesus on us or our eternity or our salvation, it should be relative to working with Jesus. We'll soon close. Our Lord Jesus was tempted three times, and he responded to the temptations. Our Lord had a purpose, and because of that, nothing was able to derail his purpose, because he had a clear plan. He came down for a reason, and anything that tries to push him away from that purpose gets pushed away. Same thing should apply to us. I always hear this saying that everyone has a price. Do we believe that? No? Wow, these people are too spiritual. So we all don't. So you don't believe in that saying that everybody has a price? Good. Yes. That no matter how your integrity is, how high it is, by the time they give you something that you really, 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 really want, you will kind of lower your standard and, you know, compromise. So I always hear that saying, and I tend to agree with some of you that, no, that's not true. When you hold something that is priceless, there is no amount of stuff that will take away from you. No matter how much anybody offers Sister Shadi now, that says, sell me your daughter Eniola for $1 billion. Is she going to sell her? I'm sure there are some people that if they say, come and take my spouse, they will say, I will even make you a rebate. So that's what I'm saying. When we say giving excuses, it's because that thing that we hold is not priceless to us yet. Right? Stop okay. Can somebody pay $2 billion for Alex? You won't take it. You know what $2 billion will buy for you? Ah, it will set you in Nigeria very well. No. Okay. See? So what is that priceless thing that we have that we shouldn't let the crumbs of this world take away from us? You see some people in China or northern part of Nigeria saying that they are willing to die because they can't just deny Jesus. This is not something that we hear. Brother Abila came here, right? He stood there that day. Same thing happened to him. This is not what they said. It happened to him. So somebody like our fellow brothers and sisters that said, I'm not going to deny Jesus. Even if you kill me. Wow. So that means their salvation is priceless to them. They are willing to even lose their own life for it. The rationale behind what we do. So the rationale behind our brothers that went through such decision must have been that priceless gift that they have, they don't want to lose it for anything, not even with their life. They don't want, you know, they rather lose their life rather than. In Ephesians 5:17, Brother Peter, we wound up in 5 minutes, whatever. Did you 5:17? I think I must have written the wrong one. The one that talked about don't live like Gentiles do in futility of their thinking. Do you know? Is it? I think it's Ephesians 5. Is it 15? About not living like Gentiles in the futility of their thinking. Is it 15? Get the old, if you can get like from 14 down. Ephesians 4:17. But Peter 4:17. Did you get it? 4:17. Okay. So Apostle Paul is saying this to us. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. So, again, this is an encouraging word from him that now that we are now a new creation, all things have indeed passed away. We should not live lives, futile kind of life anymore. Futility of their thinking. Half of the problem our generation has to do with pleasing men. The reason why I will not want to correct, or somebody will not want to correct me, Ashley, maybe because they don't know whether I will still, how I will feel after they corrected me. So they are concerned about that rather than be concerned about my soul. That's one example, right? As human beings, we always, maybe that's how the Lord created us, we always have to have something we are looking ahead of us to kind of be, would I say, encouraging us or something to kind of lead us, you know. If you remember the story of Abraham, right? The Lord said, Abraham did not build, did not settle down because he was looking for a city whose architect and builder is the Lord Almighty. What was the rationale behind his decision not to settle down when he was moving along? Because he was looking for a city that is the builder and architect is the Lord Almighty. And And it's a valid question to ask that this Christian work, what's in it for us really? I know we've all asked this we want to be sincere, we've asked ourselves that this wala is too much. What's in it for us really? The same question you asked, Peter asked the Lord Jesus when the Lord explained to when the rich young ruler left. Peter said, Lord, we've forsaken all. What's in this for us? Right? Do we ask that question too? What's in this work for us? If you don't know what's in this work for you, there is no how you won't stumble and go back to Babylon. What is driving you? What is the driving force behind you? Do you know what you were saved from? Do you understand the priceless gift you've been given, free of charge? So we need reassurance, right? Sometimes that's why the Bible says, when you come together, encourage one another so that we'll not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We encourage one another. Even John the Baptist, that knew that the Lord was the Lord, he was just saying, please, can you confirm whether he's still the one, you know? So it's okay when sometimes we challenges do come. So we have brethren. That's why they say you shouldn't forsake one another. We can encourage one another. That place we are going to, that city that the builder and the architect is the Lord Almighty, should still be our focus. And every other thing that comes our way, some difficult, some easy, we'll be able to make decisions based on the fact that, am I getting myself distracted from that place? We all know when we study for exams, we know how we will cut off so many things so that we can pass the exam. What's in the exam? It's because you want to do what? Get certificate. And what after that? And use the money, right? Uh-huh. So there's something driving us. Some of us will read, don't let me say some of us, some of you people, they will take coffee, they will do everything, so that they can read. There must be something behind that, right? To deny yourself sleep, because there's something driving it. I pity the people in the medical line, because they read so much. Anyway. So, following Jesus requires commitment. The Lord did not hide this from us. He made it clear that to follow him, you have to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. The preachers out there now, they are preaching something else. So when you have somebody that has been told that when you become a Christian, everything will be well with you, and they now tell the person at work that this report that we're supposed to present, let's just tweak this number and your account, you will get an alert for $500,000. It's just tweaking of accounts, right? So anyone that has been promised eternity because of material gain, that everything will be well with you, why wouldn't they do that? Is it not the same end goal? Material gain that they promised me in church and material gain that I do at work. End goal, right? Same thing. So why can't you compromise that? Right? But if you are the one that knew right away there and then that, the Lord already told me that I will carry my cross and deny myself daily to follow him without any promise of Banana Island apartment. You see the difference now? In closing, my dear brothers and sisters, the goal this morning is not to let you know that it's easy. It's not easy. Things will come our way that are challenging. The only thing the Lord promised us, he promised us eternity. If you read what he told Peter, Matthew 16:24. Brother Peter? No, hold on. I think it's Matthew 19:27. Let's do this and the next, like, two or three verses. Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" Which is a valid question we probably have asked ourselves at some point. So Jesus said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." The Lord is promising us eternal life. And in this side, he will guide us through what we need as well. Not necessarily what we want. Not everybody will drive Lexus. Not everybody will be CEOs of companies. Not everybody will have enough money to start donating billions of dollars all over the place. The reason, if you notice, most of these rich people are not Christians, right? So that tells you clearly that the reward of being a Christian is not material gain. If the Lord bless you financially, he's not blessing you for yourself. If you spend it on yourself alone, well, you have to give account too. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray, Lord, as we've read your word, we pray that we not only be hearers, only discipline ourselves, but do us in the name of Jesus. We also pray, Lord Almighty, that our life will be lived in a way that is pleasing in your sight. That the gift of salvation that we've received from you without paying a dime for, that we will hold it in high esteem, Lord Jesus. That the blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed on the cross will not be in vain upon our lives. We pray, Lord Almighty, that the rationale and the purpose behind everything we do will be to glorify you, Lord. You told us in the world that we've been bought with a price. We are not our own anymore. We pray, Lord Almighty, that we'll live a life that pleases you. In the name of Jesus, amen.